This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, please open your truth book, your King James Bible, to the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 40, where we left off last time. John, chapter 7, verse 40. Just before we begin, I want to invite everyone to come to my school on December 21st at 6:30 p.m. That's a Wednesday, for a very beautiful special Christmas program we're going to have. We're going to be in costumes and we're going to have cookies. And our own Scott Merson is going to give us a mini movie of his supernatural pictures on the screen. It's delightful. I'm going to lead in an all-American Christmas carol-long, and we're going to have the Rudolph Prancers and the world's most famous tambourine player, Olivia Tambourina, stage name, is going to play with us, and Max the Prophet is going to play, and we're going to have a great time. That would be Wednesday 21st at 6:30 p.m. here at my school. But that's not all. You know how to advertise something, they say, but that's not all. Christmas Day is a Sunday, so then finish off your Christmas celebration by coming to my school on Christmas Day, the 25th, at 5 p.m. here at my school. We're going to have communion. I'm going to teach line-by-line teaching, and we're going to sing some more Christmas carols, and we're going to open up the holy bench for healing. Now, there's no better time to get healed than on Christmas Day. So I want you to bring every sick person you can find, and let's have a line, and we're going to pray for them, and Scott always joins me in that, so don't forget that. And now, John chapter 7, verse 40. We left off last time with Jesus having gone up to Jerusalem to the Feast of Tabernacles. The church folks there, the Pharisees, the phony church leaders, were trying to kill Jesus. As a friend of mine said, Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you. And he was teaching in the temple, and he was just telling them, in essence, that he was going to be crucified, would die for our sins, would shed his blood for the remission of our sins, would arise from the dead, and then we'd ascend back to heaven, but he would send them another comforter, even the Holy Spirit. He's speaking of Pentecost, Acts 2. And he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, because in other words, the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in the deepest core of you gives you power. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. You speak to demons and they flee, and all kinds of things happen. So that's where we left off.
Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet.
Now, they were referring to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, when God had promised Moses. God said, I'm going to send a prophet like you, Moses, who is going to save his people from their sins. So, now the people are right about this scripture. So far, so good.
41. Others said, this is the Christ.
Christ in the Greek is the anointed one, and the Hebrew, Messiah. Now, they were right there, but they thought that the prophet and Christ were two different entities. They didn't know that Jesus is all that. They were referring to Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So they're right on the scriptures. They just have them in fragments.
Some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee?
But wait a minute, he's not supposed to be born in Galilee. They kind of looked down on anyone born there.
42, have not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David?
Yes, David was of the tribe of Judah, David the stem of Jesse. David was the king line. Yes, Messiah was to come of David. And we do know that that Jesus did come of that lineage from Mary's father, Heli.
And out of the town of Bethlehem?
Now, they're right about that scripture. See, they just have got fragments. They haven't put it all together. David was of Bethlehem, Beth, house, La, house of God, house of bread, excuse me. Bethel is house of God. Bethlehem is house of bread. Well, remember that when Herod taxed Joseph, they had to go up there, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So the truth is, they did know the scriptures. They just didn't realize that Jesus had fulfilled all the words. You know, Alexander Pope says, a little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or not at all of the Pierian springs. I have seen this church completely torn up because a man came in here who had never been baptized, didn't even have a Bible, had never read it, and he heard me say the word cloud means crowd. He looked it up and it said cloud. He was so ignorant of the Bible, had never read it, that he didn't understand their figures of speech. Like we say, paint the town red. You know you're not going to paint the town red, right? Okay, so see, you can destroy people with taking the Bible out of context. Now, they were right in the scriptures. They were trying to figure out, who is this Jesus?
David was 43. So there was a division among the people because of him.
You know, Jesus says in Mark 13, I don't come to bring peace this first time. I come to bring a sword. And I'm going to put mother at variance with daughter and father the son. Now, we're in the fifth Trump now. Trump is a lights, camera, action. It's a time of learning. That's why I'm teaching you. Very soon, the sixth trump will sound, and that is the Antichrist. That's the one taking the place of Christ. That is the devil with his Jesus costume on. Now, many people, the whole world, will be deceived by him. Revelation 13 says, and half the body of Christ will be deceived by him. But the few of us, the elect, Romans 11, 7,000, will not be deceived. So that's going to put a great division between us and Jesus. Paul says, what fellowship hath darkness with light? What fellowship hath Belial with Christ? What fellowship hath a saved person with a lost person? What fellowship hath a person who is an elect with someone who's just saved and going through the motions?
44, and some of them would have taken him.
They wanted to kill him.
But no man laid hands on him.
Why? Because it was not his appointed time. God has appointment books, and he has a book about you, everyone under the sound of my voice. And he's got an appointment for you, a destiny, and a purpose. And he's got it all written down on his day planum. Now, if you yourself do not thwart this, if you will trust him and be steady and bloom each moment of the day wherever you are planted, even though all the gates of hell shall come against you, and believe they do if you're an elect, God will see you through, and at the appointed time, that destiny, that purpose will be fulfilled. But see, you must wait for his appointment, because his timing is always right.
45, and then came the officers to the chief priest.
Now, these were the church police, the phony church leaders, the Pharisees. We're going to call them the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil. They had sent their church police to arrest Jesus because they wanted to get him out of the picture. But the church police were so taken by Jesus, they came back empty-handed. Uh-oh.
The Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? 46, the officers answered, never man speak like this man.
Other scriptures say, what a word is this? I will tell you something. If you are an elect, when you come face to face with a tsunami of truth, you know it, and nobody has to tell you that it's true. You know it beyond the shadow of a doubt, and your life changes forever, because then you realize you were sent here on a mission, on an assignment, and the dog and the cat and the job and the car, those things don't mean so much anymore. You go through that, but that's not your mission. The truth of God's word, the mystery, the sacred secret changes your life forever, now and forevermore. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
47, then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? For yet hath any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him?
Now the phony church leaders, the Pharisees, did you believe too? Did you get conned in by this Jesus person? Has anybody in the hierarchy of the church called the Sanhedrin, have they believed? Well, other gospels tell us, yes. Joseph of Arimathea, who was Mary's rich uncle, had believed. And he was the church hierarchy. He believed in Jesus. And remember in John 3, Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night to ask the way of salvation and light. And Jesus made answer in words true and plain, you must be born again. You must be born from above. Nicodemus had. Now, both of these men would have been excommunicated from the church, the Sanhedrin, if the rulers of the church knew that they had gone to Jesus. When the elect are delivered up to Antichrist, we're going to be delivered up to the deceived Christian churches and synagogues. See, half the church Christian will be deceived and think that first one coming in the sky is Jesus, when indeed it's the Antichrist instead of Christ. We'll be delivered up, the small minority of us, to those church folks, and there's going to be a tremendous division, and we will certainly not be included as a Christian, as a believer, because they will be deceived thinking that is Jesus. And we will know that it is the devil. Don't fear, not one hair of your head shall be harmed, unless you are one of the two witnesses. But they arise from the dead, so all's well that ends well.
49, but this people who knoweth not the law are accursed.
Now the Pharisees are saying, you people who don't know the law means the word, you don't even know the word, you don't know that this Jesus is not the Messiah, so you are cursed. Interesting, Galatians says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law is the word. It is true that when you break the word, you do go under the curse. That's why you want to walk in this word. Every time you break God's word and you open a door to Satan, you could open up just a little gateway there and you're in trouble. So keep the word. So in fact, the church leaders had it upside down. But see, the world has it upside down. The world calls evil good and good evil. Good gracious.
Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them.
Now he's one of the church leaders, but he's been converted. He's going to try to save the day. See, those officers disobey the church leaders, so they could get in real trouble because of that. So he's going to save these officers next.
51, doth our law judge any man before it heareth him?
Don't we say innocent until proven guilty? The United States of America has a constitution which was taken from the common law of England, which was taken from the Bible, and every time that someone on the news is accused of something, have you noticed how quickly everybody assumes they're guilty? No, we're innocent until proven guilty. That's what Nicodemus says.
Know what he doeth? 52, they answered and said unto him, art thou also a Galilee?
Have you gone to this Galilean too, Nicodemus? Actually, yes, he had.
And look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet.
Now the church leaders didn't know the Bible, because the Bible says that out of Galilee was the prophet Nahum, minor prophet. The prophet Jonah, you know, deep sea diving Jonah, okay. The prophet Hosea and the prophet Elisha. See, the church leaders didn't know the Bible. Be careful. One verse won't do it. You need every word of God. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line.
53, and every man went unto his own house.
Nicodemus saved their neck, so they went home. Now we come to John 8, and Jesus himself is going to define for you who the Kenites are. Now you hear me say this word often. Why do I do that? Because the book of Revelation says that the only two type churches that please Jesus at the end will tell you who those are, who are Jews, say they are Jews, they are not, but the synagogue of Satan. Well, who are they? I tell you, they are the K-E-N-I-T-E-S, Kenites. They pretend to be our beloved brother Judah. I love our brother Judah. He's Hebrew, like I'm Hebrew. I'm of the tribe of Levi. But they say they are our beloved brother Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. The Kenites are the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil when Satan beguiled Eve in the garden. These are the only two type churches that please Jesus. You say, well, why is that so important? Because right now the Kenites have destroyed America, and they are trying to destroy the church. When the Antichrist comes calling himself Christ, calling himself God's Savior, and the whole world goes after him and half the body of Christ, these who say they are Judah but are not will gather around him, and the Christians who do not know the Bible will think that that's our brother Judah, so surely they must know the Messiah. Well, you heard it here.
John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives.
Now, early in the morning, very early, Jesus would rise up early every morning and go to the Mount of Olives and pray. Jesus says, when you pray, go into your closet. You don't have to have a closet, but I encourage you to have some place in your house that is a holy place. I heard one man say he just took a blanket and roped off a place because God will meet you there. Some people say, I wait until the evening to read my Bible and pray. The devil's beat you up by then. You need guidance in the morning. Go then and listen to the word. Read the word and listen to God. Don't do all the talking. Let him talk. Now, some of you say, well, I don't have much time. I just read a devotional book. That's okay, lady. You're not a baby. Why not take it to the Lord? Open the Bible. Okay, you know what you could do? If you're new at this, you could read the first chapter of Genesis, the first chapter of Psalms, and the first chapter of Matthew. And then the next day, read the second chapter of Genesis, the second chapter of Psalms, and the second chapter of Matthew. Just a little suggestion. It'll take you no more longer than to read a quarterly, which would be one verse in somebody's opinion. Get God's opinion. So Jesus got up early in the morning and prayed. Don't ever start your day, this world is evil, without covering yourself with prayer and hearing from God and getting his instructions. See, you might be planning something. He wants you to do something else.
Verse 2, early in the morning he came again into the temple.
Now look at that. He got up early, and then early he went into the temple. I get up every morning at very latest at 5 a.m. Many times I get up earlier because I don't dare to start my day without God. And then I'm an intercessory prayer and I spend time with God. And then I'm ready to do God's work. Then, say, you're not equipped to do God's work until you're covered with the word and prayer. And then the Holy Spirit will take that word and take that prayer and make you useful that day for the God, for our Father.
And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them.
He did not stand up, he sat down, and they brought him what is called the Torah. That's your scroll, Scott. He would open up and teach them. Now listen to this. The phony church leaders are going to make a scene.
Three. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, and they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act.
Now, boy, they know how to disrupt something. This poor woman, she's half clad, she's weeping, she's crying, she's scared to death, and they bring her in there. So we caught this woman in adultery in the very act. Well, it takes two. Where's the man? Now, here's what. Listen to what they're going to say to Jesus. They're going to try to trick Jesus. I'm going to explain it. Just listen to the next verse.
5. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned.
All right. They were referring to Deuteronomy 22, which says, if a man or a woman, yes, it said man or woman, are caught in the act of adultery, they will be stoned to death and put an end to that. But there is an exception here. The word woman here, and Jesus would know that because Jesus is the living word, is in the Greek goi, which means a married woman, a wife. Now, there's another scripture the church folks don't know, and we're going to talk about that because that's what Jesus is going to write on the ground. That's going to get this woman out of this trouble. But, okay, here's what they do. They're saying, Jesus, now you're teaching the word. You've got to do the word. They were trying to trick him. Now listen to this.
What sayest thou?
What say you? You know how the reporters say, what say you? They got it from that. Sayest is say, thou is you. What say you? All right.
Yes, they said, tempting him.
All right, they wanted to trick him. First of all, they wanted him dead. He was supposed to be teaching the law. They only knew Deuteronomy 22. They did not know Numbers 5, which says that if the woman is married, a married wife, then it is not required to stone her, only if she is a betrothed virgin. The Greek word there, and Jesus knew it, that woman was an anointed wife. She's going to be in trouble enough anyway when her husband finds out. So what say you? Now, they were trying to get Jesus. You're going to have to stone her. However, they knew something. The Roman government had made a law that the Hebrew people could not put anybody to death. And if the Hebrew people, like Jesus, he was Hebrew, if they put them to death, then they could be put to death. and they wanted Jesus out of the way. They thought they had Jesus between Pharaoh and the deep Red Sea. And so let's see how Jesus gets out of it. Remember, Jesus is the Word wrapped in flesh.
That they would have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground.
I can assure you he wrote Numbers 5. If the woman is a married wife, it is not, the law does not require that she be stoned. Only if she is a betrothed virgin. I'm going to put something in parentheses and I'll get back to it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he said, I have betrothed you, Christian men and women, as a chaste virgin to one husband. But I fear that as Satan beguiled Eve in the garden, exopatio, wholly seduced in the Greek, so are you going to be deceived when the Antichrist comes. Parentheses. We'll put it on the shelf.
As though he heard them not. 7. So when they continued asking him.
They kept at him. Aren't you going to stone her? Deuteronomy 22. A little learning is a dangerous thing. See, they don't know Numbers 25 that would not require that woman to be stoned.
He lifted up himself and said unto them, if it is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground.
What did he write? God keeps books. Everything you have ever done, said, been, or not done, it is just as much sin not to do it as it is to do. If you know to do good and do it not, it is sin. And so he wrote on the ground. He's got it in the book about you. Now you can repent and get the bad things off, but he keeps books. He's the Word. You write, where Word writes words. The book, the Word writes words in a book. He says, Brother Benjamin, Saturday, noonday, over at Mrs. Jones' house while her husband was getting the ox out of the ditch. Brother Simeon, Wednesday, 2:30, over at Mrs. Brown's house while her husband was keeping the sheep. And you there, Thomas, you know in the Olive Garden with that pretty, chaste virgin Susan, and everything you have ever done is written in the book.
9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience.
The word heard there in the Greek is saw. They saw it. It means read. They read. Excuse me, the word is read. R-E-A-D. The Greek word for heard is read. When they read it. So see, he wrote it on the ground. And he wrote Numbers 5. And he wrote their sins. Do you understand? Because that's what he does. That's very biblical because he writes everything about us in his books. He's a bookkeeper.
Went out one by one, beginning with the elder, and unto the last.
You see, all of those men, by the law of Deuteronomy 22 and Numbers 5, all three of them should have been stoned because they were the act. But you see, they even let the other man get away, and they knew that. Scott, it's like when you cast these demons out of these people, we watch these people go out like a dog with his tail tucked between his legs. They run out like this. That's how they got it. Let's get out of here before we get stoned.
Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst.
Poor thing, she must have been crying, scared to death.
Then, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman.
Woman is very respectable. It's like madam, ma'am.
Where are those thine accusers?
Where are they? Where'd they go?
Hath no man condemned thee? 11. She said, no man, Lord.
She called him Lord. Whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus had not yet died and shed his blood and arisen from the dead to pay the sin debt. So she didn't have to do Romans 10, 9 and 10, to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. She called him Lord, the compassion, the love. Love never fails. Love never fails. Love never fails. And she was converted.
And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Now the Bible tells us that at the seventh trump, Jesus is coming back for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the body of Christ, saved people, are called the bride. and there's going to be a wedding, and that would make us his wife. All right? Matthew tells us that there are 10 virgins, meaning the whole of the body of Christ, men and women, ready and waiting for Jesus to return. They are all saved at this point, but 5 are wise, half are wise, and 5 are foolish. Half of the body of Christ are foolish. Half of the body of Christ have no oil, no truth, and they're going to worship that first Christ that comes that says peace and safety, cause craft to prosper, and brings peace on earth, but he is the devil with his Jesus costume on the instead of Christ. The 5 that are wise are God's elect, Romans 11, 7,000, who will wait for the true Christ. So half of the body of Christ being betrothed to Christ to be a chaste virgin will commit adultery with the Antichrist and marry him, and then they deserve to be stoned to death. Hebrews 2:14, death's name is the devil, and the devil's name is stone, Tyrus, in Ezekiel 28. They will walk into the lake of fire with Satan at the end of the millennium. However, those 5 who wait, you wait for the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then you're the married wife, and you live forevermore with your husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We'll begin right there next time. But it's right now time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the Word of God. I want to welcome my man of God, twin friend, Scott Merson, to help me. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing real good, Sherry. How are you doing?
Just great.
That was a great word. That was a great word.
Thank you. Awesome. I hope it blessed people.
I hope so, too. Mm-hmm. Okay, our first question. America is surrendering more and more of our authority to the UN. Is this a sign of the end times?
Absolutely, Scott. It's in Revelation 13. We're talking about that tonight. There are two symbolic beasts there. The first beast is the political system, and we have that right now. The political system is preparing a one-world government, and see, they're trying to get all the nations to join the UN. Our country is giving over our sovereignty to them to prepare for the one world government of the second beast of Revelation 13, who is the Antichrist. We cannot stop the one world government, the one world order, but America is still in there, Revelation 12. We are the hidden ones are going to be hidden in the wilderness, which is America. But we're doing that. It's setting up the one world government for the one world God, who will be Satan pretending to be Christ, coming back saying peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. See, he'll act like Jesus, talk like him, but he's not. He's the voice of a lamb, but he's two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. So we can't stop that, but there are those of us in America who are the elect or the hidden ones, so we're still going to remain sovereign to our God.
Yeah, we even see the UN signing away the rights of Jerusalem from Israel and everything. So there's
many
biblical things happening right now.
Yes, they've really taken this away from Israel, aren't they?
Yeah,
especially after America and our brother Judah, who's in the land of Israel. The 10 tribes of Israel, the larger bulk are here in America, so that's why they're after us. But the 2 tribes, Judah, in part, are in Jerusalem, in Israel.
Yeah. Our next question, why did God give Satan free choice?
Because God wanted Satan to love him. That's what he wants for you. You know, I have puppets, Love and Sunshine. I can make them say anything that they say, but when I need somebody to love me, they don't really love me. I know that. It's me saying that. God wanted Satan to love him. In Ezekiel 28, God made Satan the perfect pattern. He made him beautiful. He made him wiser than Daniel. He made him a great musician, and he was the anointed cherub. God gave him free choice, because he wanted him to love him. That's what he wants, dear ones. See, you come to Jesus and you say, give me the stuff. You give him your love. You'll get the stuff.
Amen. Our next question. My children are not allowed to pray in their school. How can I help them and, let them pray before their test?
They want to pray before their test. Okay, we are getting, see, America's really sold out here. God can read your mind. You can pray anywhere, anytime. God is what the Greek calls cardio-knower, heart-knower, mind-knower. If it's a test with a screen, you got the screen there, or if you got your paper, just keep your eyes open and think to God. God can read your mind. And think, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for wisdom. Help me to ace this test. And he'll help you there. One thing the devil can... Now, the devil can hear your words, and you can open up a trap for yourself, but God can read your mind.
Amen. Or you can just tell what I tell my children, you know, just go ahead and pray. If your teachers have a problem with them, they can call me.
Don't make Scott come down there. Scott works out. He's got big muscles. Right. He'll beat you up.
Okay.
I'm glad you covered my back, Scott.
Right. All right, our last question. Proverbs 16:10 says, a divine sentence in the lips of the king.
That's so beautiful. Yes. Revelation chapter 1 says, you Christian, excuse me, God has made you a king and a priest unto himself. And a divine sentence, that means God's sentence, would be God's word, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. When you as a king speak God's word, you do it like Jesus did, it is written in Jesus' name, on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood, then you say the scripture. For instance, somebody's trying to get you. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment is condemned. God says that's a divine sentence, and you have spoken a divine sentence to keep that thing from hurting you. Let's just say you don't have enough. You say, it is written in Jesus' name, on the basis of victory of Jesus' blood, my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's say you're sick. It is written in Jesus' name, on the basis of victory of Jesus' blood, he sent his word and healed me. With Jesus' stripes I am healed. That's a divine sentence. And the Bible says, he says in Jeremiah, God says, I watch over my word and I perform my word. That's a divine sentence. What a privilege,
God. That is just awesome thing.
Awesome privilege we have there. Is that all we've got there?
That was it.
That's it. Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate Scott Merson. Thank you so much. Absolutely. Scott's going to give us one of his scripture picture videos here for our Christmas program, December 21st, 6:30 p.m. Now, if you're not saved, I want you to be saved. Please pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call me and leave that message on my voicemail, and I will pray for you. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. To the north, the south, and the east and west, wherever there is confusion, where there is mental disorder, our frustration of not knowing what to do, we just break that in the name and the power of Jesus. Let there be clarity of thinking. Let there be peace and divine order in the mind and in the atmosphere in Jesus' mighty name. Let the healing virtue of Jesus go into the backbone, spine, central nervous system, into the bladder and the kidneys and the colon and the stomach, everything working right, perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction nor inaction, hearts and lungs, feet and toes, blood be healed in the name and the power of Jesus. In wheelchairs, take up your bed and walk in the name and the power of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. He sent his word and healed you. Now, if you were healed, you might want to call and tell me that also. Well, it's time now for your love line of the week. From my heart to your heart. When I was a little girl, I was about 5 years old, I got up on Sunday morning and asked my daddy to take me to church. Now, we did go to church later that afternoon, but I wanted to go to the first church and another church. Daddy said, no, he says, I've got some work to do. I can't do that right now. So 5-year-old me went into the yard and I picked up some sticks and I stuck them in little rows and made me a little church. And then I got a cardboard box and put it at the front. And 5-year-old Sherry, I got up there and I let them all singing and singing and singing and the sticks that I was singing. And then I preached to them, you better repent. Well, little to my knowledge, my mother and my daddy were peeping out the window. And so daddy said, with tears in his eyes, little girl, go put your pretty dress on. Daddy will take you to church. And I said, that's all right, daddy. church is right here where I am.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to invite all of you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m. and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., prayer warriors. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Now remember that every truth you get is not yours to keep. Go and tell. Wait for my announcer now. Wait for me to play the piano. And until next time, this is Sherry Medlock saying God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Afraid of the thunder, are these the little hands that held so tight to mine? Didn't we both agree you'd never grow up? And now here we are, and here you go. Of all the things I want to say, the thing you really need to know is I believe. Get to this moment, now this is where we stay, while you go change the world. But I'll be where I have always been, up in the stands cheering you on and singing this song, a song the very God who made you has been singing all along. I believe in you, so spread your wings and fly on the winds of known guide.
of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Sun, moon, and stars rejoice on high. Praise to the Lord of light divine.
Him who reigns above the clouds.
Sing hallelujah.
Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
All heavy acquainted with sorrow, may Christ in our marrow carry us home. From alabaster come blessings of laughter, a fragrance of passion, joy from the truth. Yeah. Grant the ever flowing from hearts of contrition only for you. May sin never hold true, that love never broke through, for God's mercy holds us, we are His own. This road that we travel, may it be the straight and narrow. God, give us peace and grace from you. All the days shelter with fire, our voices we
to know you is to never worry for my life. And to know you is to never give in or compromise. And to know you is to wanna tell the world about you, 'cause I can't live without you. To know you is to hear your voice when you are calling. To know you is to catch my brother when he's falling.
Press on through, you can't stop, you can't look back. You can't stop. that drunk on fear, meditating on what you lack. I know there's a reason to be standing here today. We're part of America, at least God sees it that way. You can't look down, you gotta look up. You can't even sing the blues. Ain't the time for compromise. What you gain that way, you lose. Stop the hate that causes pain. Stop the violence too. Let them know the love's their only way.
To get by,
to stay high, in a world that's hurting. Oh yeah.
To get by,
to stay high, oh, high, in a world that's hurting. How can I say thanks for the love that's been given me? How can I
express
just what I feel inside of me? Oh, and what this soul really needs is the kind of love that heaven sees. It's the kind that makes the world go round. Picks me up when I'm upside down. Oh yeah. Ain't the time.